begin a series of messages from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, Ephesians 6, 11 to 19, or 10 to 19. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and with all saints. Our studies for the next several weeks, Lord willing, will take us through these verses, and we will trust the Lord that the Holy Spirit, who is always faithful, will show us step by step the plan that God has laid out for us, so that victory shall be ours all the way. One of the reasons for the writing of the New Testament epistles was to give practical instructions as to how the new believers should walk in their new found faith. Remember, many of them came out of a heathen background and others from a Jewish background. They had never seen the Christian life lived before them. They did not have a pattern that they could follow. The epistles, therefore, taught them and showed them how they were to fight the good fight, how they were to walk the walk, how they were to live the life. And even today, many believers are still learning to walk this walk, in the sense we are facing difficult challenges as we climb to higher heights in Christ and in his wonderful grace. Each level to which we ascend teaches us new lessons, and there are new challenges that face us, and new ways that we have to find to live this life and to walk this walk. The ways we have to find are all recorded for us in the Word. The Word of God never fails to guide and to show us the way. So stay with us for the next few weeks, Lord willing, from week to week, so that we could learn how to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life as a result of fighting a good fight. The Ephesians, as well as every believer today and tomorrow, must know we are in a battle with an unseen enemy who is seeking to spiritually steal, to spiritually kill, and to spiritually destroy us. These are his goals. In John 10, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." To rob us of what God has made available to us, and to derail us off the tracks and to make us hopeless wrecks. This is the intention of the devil. The devil is not our friend. His intentions are not honorable. They are not pure. They are wrapped up in deceit, cunning, trickery. That's the name of his game. The devil is a sly old fox, we used to sing in Sunday school. If I could catch him, I'd put him in a box. I lock the door and throw away the key for all those tricks he played on me. Yes, he's a sly old fox, and he wants to trap every one of us. And without Jesus Christ and the provision Christ has made, the sly old fox will outfox us, and he will cause us to end up as losers. But it is not the intention of God that you and I should become losers. We are winners. Hallelujah. These verses in Ephesians 6 tell us how to be the overcomer in any encounter with that old devil. The provisions God has made for you and me make us winners over the enemy, not at some times, but at all times and in all seasons. And in the event you stumble or you fall, you can rise again and keep on going as the Lord forgives you of your fault and your sin. He restores you to perfect normalcy. The Lord is a restorer. Some people don't think about that. They feel that once they have fallen, that's the end of them. Not at all. Not with God. As long as you have life, and as long as you have faith in God's word, when you fall, you call on him. He forgives you, forgets about your past, and sets you on the right road once again. We are to be strong, according to Ephesians 6:10-19. We are to be strong in the Lord. Notice that we are to be strong, not in ourselves, but we are to be strong in the Lord. In the book of John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse number 12, the Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power, gave he the right to become sons of God. We are as strong in the Lord as we are strong in his word. His word gives us faith. Romans 10:17 says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Let God's word become your testimony. If we abide in him and his words abide in us, we shall ask what we will, and it shall be done. Hide the word in your heart as a weapon against the devil. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Psalms 119 and verse number 11. The word is one of the most powerful weapons against the devil's attacks. Jesus used that word when he was tempted in the wilderness. We too are free to use the word when we are also tempted. Resist the devil firmly in the faith, and as you resist him, he shall flee from you. The word of God is alive, it's active, and it is a powerful force against the enemy. It works against him. Hallelujah. The living word in your mouth and in your heart and in your spirit is what and where your strength lies. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the word. Let the word dwell in you richly in all wisdom. memorize the word, visualize the word, speak the word. The word in you makes you strong. What have you committed to memory with regard to the word? What can you repeat by heart? What word are you standing on for time and for eternity and even for your salvation? Are you standing on any word? What promises are sustaining you in your walk of faith? The enemy would love to challenge you on this and tell you you have not a leg to stand on. But I tell you this, you need to have an answer for him when he comes to you. A strong answer from the eternal word. The word which prevails in any context, in any contest. The word of God is your strength. It makes you strong, whether it is in you or in your mouth. It is a deadly weapon against Satan. When you use it, remember, the word was made flesh, and the word was God, and still is God, undiluted, unchanged, still potent. It is quick and powerful, Hebrews 4 and 12, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Be strong in the power of God's might. We draw power and might from the Lord by staying close to him. Those who wait upon him renew their strength. They mount up with wings as eagles. They run and are not weary. They walk and do not faint. Yes, virtue flows from the Lord, flows from his side. Healing flows from him. Supernatural power exudes from him. So therefore, we need to keep close to him and raise the level of our encounter and our fellowship with him. Raise the level of our hope in him. Be strong in his might, and we will be blessed by his power that flows to those who believe freely. You remember that lady that was sick with the issue of blood for 12 years, spent everything she had, suffered at the hands of all those physicians. She touched him, and Jesus said, virtue went out of him. When we touch Jesus, virtue still flows out of him. Let us by faith embrace him. Let us by faith touch him. Let us by faith walk near to him. Let us by faith be attached to him. Those who wait on him shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Not only waiting on him, but we need to learn to hunger and thirst after righteousness. That attitude of hungering and thirsting after righteousness is powerful. With that kind of disposition and that kind of attitude, you shall become full. You shall become saturated with his wonderful presence. Just as how a piece of wood placed near something magnetic, that piece of wood cannot draw anything from that magnetic force. No, nothing. Because the wood doesn't have anything in it that could really extract and pull that magnetic power from that magnetic center. Only something that possesses a particular metallic element would be able to draw the magnetic force from that magnetic center. So it is that deep calls to deep. Hunger for God is the magnet that pulls God to you and pulls God in you. when you're hungry for God, God is able to minister to you and to enter into the spiritual life and fill your spiritual capacity with holy power because you have a hunger for God. The Bible says he shall fill the hungry with good things, or he did fill the hungry with good things, but the rich had to depart empty. The secret is in making yourself to become hungry for him, hungry for his blessing, hungry for his power, hungry for every good thing he offers to you who believe. Hence, the words, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That means as we draw nearer to him and as we come to him with a hunger and a thirst for more of him, and as we desire to have our strength renewed and our might increased in God, his power just responds to that sort of attitude. Let's come close to him. Let's touch him. Let's make contact with him. Let's hold on to him under his wings. Let us be sitting at his feet and learning from him and of him as we gaze in his countenance by faith. Oh, hallelujah. Being near to him gives us the strength and the power. Notice, our strength is in the power of his might. Notice his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not in our might. We have heard it said that the arm of flesh will fail us. We dare not trust our own. It is because of this that we need to find the strength and the power he gives. That is the power that lasts. That is the power that prevails. That is the power that gives us the victory. That is the power that we need to be realized in our life if we are to live in victory. And that power comes from clinging to him, hungering and thirsting after his righteousness and holiness, for hungering for more and more of Jesus, constantly pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. That continuous desire to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, that is what keeps us near the cross. That is what puts us in a position where we can be extracting from him, so to speak, the might and the power that he wants to give us. A broken and a contrite heart and spirit thou wilt not despise. God loves a broken and a contrite heart on the part of his people. Our battle is won first and foremost by a life surrendered to Christ. To say it another way, if our life is not surrendered to him, we cannot win this battle, because the devil knows that we do not have a victorious ally or leader. He knows that we are fighting the battle alone, so he can tackle us and dash us to the ground before we realize it. But surrendering to Christ, first and foremost, is the key to our victory. Nothing would beat a life surrendered to Christ. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. Yes, he is crucified, yet he is alive. Christ is crucified, yet he is alive in us, so that we become dead to the world, dead to sin, dead to the taunts of the enemy, but very much alive to the will and to the work and to the plan of God. Yes, we are deaf to the devil's challenges, but alert and attentive attentive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. He that hath an ear to hear will hear what God is saying to him. We take our orders from the boss, our Lord Jesus Christ, and no one else. We're listening out for the voice of the boss, our master. We're not listening to other voices. We have no time for other voices. As far as we're concerned, they don't exist. We are attached to Jesus. We're fastened to him. He is our Lord. Then we're provided with our fighting gear, our uniform, our outfit for this battle. It is not merely prescribed, but it is a battle outfit that is mandatory. Fully surrendered, committed to Christ, we must, in addition, put on the whole armor of God. And remember, we cannot be selective in the choice of the pieces of armor. No, we cannot decide to select the pieces that appear attractive only. We are not looking after that. But we are to be looking after putting on the whole outfit, the whole armor of God, all of it, every part, whether or not you see the value, whether or not you like it, the need is important. You need it regardless of how it appears. The whole armor must be put on. Your verdict, your opinion in the matter has absolutely nothing to do with the divine prescription. You are to put on the whole armor, every single piece. No excuses. Each piece is necessary if you are to win the fight. Put on the whole armor. Wherever the armor is missing, offers a most suitable target spot for the enemy to strike you. And he will find that spot because he is out to get you. But our Heavenly Father knows what is the best for you and for me. So he gives us the covering that will keep us safely and guard us against the enemy, the savage enemy, who wants to hit us where it hurts and where it will throw us down. Put on the whole armor of God, the record says. God's armor causes you to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil and to withstand the cunning deceptions of the devil, who has been in this kind of business not from yesterday, but for centuries. He is well experienced. He's a well-experienced archer. Many have fallen at his attacks because they failed to put on the whole armor of God. They neglected to put on the whole armor of God. They didn't think it was necessary. The whole outfit prescribed is what we actually need. Our studies in the future will take us through each piece of the outfit, and we will show you why they are necessary. Our instructions are a must. We have to put on the whole armor. There is nothing optional. The entire harness is important. All the pieces, nothing missing, nothing left out. We must have all the pieces. And this is what God has prescribed. And if God has prescribed it, who are we to dispense with it? Our Father knows best. Therefore, with a life fully committed to our Lord and Savior, along with the prescribed pieces of outfit, we are poised for total and complete victory in this spiritual conflict. We are winners as long as we follow the Lord's orders and his orders are not difficult. He shows us clearly what these pieces of armor are and how and where they are to be worn. And if we follow him, we cannot go wrong. Our Lord is victor in all circumstances against the devil. And we are going to show you, Lord willing, how the enemy fights. He doesn't fight fairly. He doesn't fight according to principle. He fights to destroy you and to knock you out. But fear not, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Those with us are more than those that be with them. So, friends, you are on the winning side once you are on Jesus' side and once you surrender your all to him. This is our first installment, and we are in for some good and great times. Lord willing, life spared in the installments ahead. So to God be all the glory